him in here safely. And tremendous, not only is he a tremendous preacher, he's going to be a blessing to the meeting, but he's a great friend to me, and I'm sure I'm thankful the Lord allowed us to be able to, or passed across, and I'm thankful that he and his family and in our life, and we appreciate them very much. I'm gonna read one verse here in Matthew chapter number 5, and then I'm going to ask Brother Jeremiah Johnson if he'll open us up in prayer tonight. I'll get right into the preaching of the Word of God, get out of the way, and I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Davis preach. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And Brother Jeremiah.
Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. And God, I pray that as we've taken the time to gather your people, Lord, I pray that you'd use this time of the preaching of the Word of God, Lord, to stir our hearts, to challenge us, Lord, that we might draw closer to you, Lord, that we might be able to see where we are failing, Lord, that we might do more for you. God, you know what each one of us need here tonight. And we ask that you'd give us exactly what we came for this evening, Lord, through the preaching
Please
of your men.
God,
we ask that you'd fill them with your Spirit. And God, would you just touch them, anoint them, and Lord, help them to speak only what you've given to them. And God, I pray that you'd open our hearts. May we be attentive. God, would you speak to us tonight? May we make a decision for you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated tonight. Allow me to lay a foundation, then we'll get right into the preaching tonight. We find here in Matthew chapter number 5 that the Lord is giving the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins by giving what we refer to as the Beatitudes. These Beatitudes speak of being consecrated and set apart for the Master's use. All the Beatitudes begin with the word blessed, which is the hallmark of the Beatitudes. It means happiness. And its use in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not happy in the sense of happenstance or luck or chance, but happy in the sense of the highest form of happiness, joy, and blessing that one can have. It's happiness as a result of the inward spiritual condition of a man, not the outward material or physical condition of a man. As it is natural for man to become thirsty for water, and when we truly are thirsty to the point of dehydration, nothing really quite satisfies like water does. And the Lord compares becoming more like God and His righteousness to a man that is hungry for physical food and for a drink of water. This verse is speaking of a desire. It's not a desire, as we sang a little while ago, for fame or fortune or the satisfying of a fleshly appetite, but it's a spiritual desire. A desire to be holy, a desire to hunger and thirst, to become like God intended for us to become in the likeness and the image of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse number 1 and 2, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God." Those who thirst for righteousness are in all reality thirsting for God. And the Lord not only says will we be blessed, that we will be happy and have joy and the blessings of God if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, but He also gives us a promise if we will. He says, "Thou will be filled." And God fulfills His promises, and as we said yesterday, we can count on the promises of God more than we count on the promises of anyone else. You say, "Well, that's what would I be filled with if I hunger and thirst after righteousness?" Well, we'll be filled with God's Spirit and His power. Just like you and I need physical food and water to survive, we need spiritual food and water to survive as well. You may ask, how do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? How do I become more like Christ? Very easy. Walk with the Lord. Too many times we make it some way out there mystery in this thing of walking with God. God has made a way for us to walk with Him by giving us His Bible, this holy word, to lead us and guide us through life. God's given us a way to walk with Him by Bible preaching at the Word of God. And child of God, just like you and I need a physical bath every single day of our life, we need a spiritual bath every single day of our life. And mark it down, the day that you and I as fleshly men and women take off from walking with God, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not take a day off in bringing temptation into our lives. Can I ask you tonight, has the desire for the things of the world left you dry and thirsty, Christian? I would encourage you to get a desire to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Can I say this evening, I'm as patriotic as anyone else tonight, and I love the United States of America. But what America needs more tonight is not more patriots, but more of God's people desiring and thirsting to be closer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think about when the Lord Jesus Christ was there on the cross of Calvary, we understand when Jesus left the portals of heaven and He came to a sin-cursed world, we understand that yes, when He walked here on earth, He was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. And as He was there on that cross and He said those words, "I thirst," yes, physically, as a man, He thirsted for water. We know the rest of the story, how they put that vinegar on the sponge. But also spiritually, as God the Son, we understand that He thirsted spiritually as well. Because think about it with me tonight, church. When Jesus Christ was there on the cross of Calvary, He bore in His body every one of your sins and every one of my sins. And the Bible says over in the book of Habakkuk that God could not look upon sin the way that man looks upon sin. And at that time, as Christ was on the cross, God the Father turned His back on God the Son, and God the Son bore in His body every one of our sins. And God, Jesus, 100% God, was saying, "I thirst," because for the first time in eternity past, and the first time in eternity present, and the first time in eternity future, there was broken fellowship between God the Father and God the Son, and God the Son said, "I thirst." And child of God, can I say tonight, if the sinless Son of God thirsted for that fellowship back with the Father, what does that say about you and I needing to thirst and having that fellowship with the Father? Can I ask us tonight, how long has it been since we thirsted for God? Let me give us a few truths tonight from the Word of God that tells us some benefits of thirsting after God's righteousness. Look at Revelation with me tonight. Revelation chapter 4. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Can I say tonight, when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, number one, God's purpose is fulfilled in our lives. God's purpose is fulfilled in our lives. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, I won't go into all of God's creation, but we do understand this, that God's eternal purpose for creating man was so that God could have a people unto Himself for His pleasure and to have fellowship with His creation. We brought a little bit out yesterday, but let me finish it up tonight. We understand that before Adam fell in the garden and broke God's commandment, God came to the garden to have fellowship with His creation and to walk and talk along life's narrow way with His creation, Adam. After Adam committed that sin, the Bible says that Adam hid himself from the presence of God, him and Eve amongst the trees. And God came to the garden to still have fellowship with His creation. And God asked that question. He said, "Adam," He said, "where art thou?" And it wasn't that God did not know the answer. God knew the answer. He wanted to make sure that Adam knew the answer. And can I say, I believe with all my heart tonight that the God of heaven, 6,000 years later, is asking God's children, children, where art thou? Where art thou when it comes to reading that book? Where art thou when it comes to having a prayer life? Where art thou when it comes to dying to the flesh and being led by the Spirit? Where art thou when it comes to not being so much concerned about happiness as we are holiness? God is asking tonight, where art thou? Can I say tonight, you're not looking at very much tonight. But I made my mind up a long time ago at an old-fashioned altar that I set my alarm clock every night, and when that alarm clock goes off every morning, that alarm clock doesn't signify for me to check the email or check the bank account or check the social media status. When that alarm clock goes off, it tells me that I, as God's creation, got one more day to spend with my Creator. Can I say, my friend, when you and I will hunger and thirst to be in God's presence, number one, God's purpose is fulfilled. Number two, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6 with me. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse number 6 with me. The Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Look at verse number 9. "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When we hunger and thirst after righteousness, number two, God's place is found. God's place is found. Now we understand here that God is still giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching the disciples about prayer, and many would call this the model prayer. And Jesus tells them here in verse number 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." Look at that next word, "hallowed be thy name." You understand that word hallowed means consecrated. It means sanctified. It means greatly revered. It means respected. And child of God, when you and I will walk with God and thirst after God's righteousness, it will put God in his place in our lives and remind us of our place. We will be reminded that God is our creator and we are his creation. And the creation was not created for himself, but the creation. And it's God that is the giver of life tonight. How dare any of us live for fame or fortune or to please friends? Let's live for the Father, amen. And can I tell you, my friend, we'll find our place when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Can we be reminded tonight? The reason we got out of bed this morning is because God allowed it so. The reason we had running water to shower is because God allowed it so. And the reason we've got clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and food on our table and money in our pocket and vehicles to drive and life in our body and a heart that is beating and a brain that is functioning properly is because God allowed it so. And God hasn't taken his mind off of us for 1 second this week. And I wonder tonight how many have not even thought about giving God his place of preeminence that not only he deserves, but he desires in our life. How dare I or you that have breath in our body and the blood of Christ applied to our hearts say that we forgot to walk with God today or this week? Because I guarantee you one thing, he didn't forget to wake us up this morning, amen? Number one, when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, not only is God's purpose fulfilled, not only is his place found, very quickly, number three, God's pleasing is fulfilled. God's pleasing is fulfilled. When Adam sinned in the garden, we're reminded that there was broken fellowship between a holy God and sinful man. But God loved man so much that he made a way to reconcile sinful man back to himself, and that was through the sacrificial death of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that many of us have it memorized, if not everybody in this room, but every now and then we need to be reminded, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And too many times I believe we as Christians, we live our lives and we forget just how much it cost God to save us out of the slave market of sin. Can we be reminded, it cost God his Son to die on Calvary, and the Bible says that God was pleased with the penalty that Christ paid for our sins so we could be saved by the grace of God. Turn our Bibles to Isaiah tonight. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah, we're just talking about a dedicated walk with God tonight, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, do you have that place? Do you have that place where you meet with God? Do you have that designated place? Do you have that time that you walk with God? I quoted the verse a while ago, but thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You understand, when God's talking about a closet there, he's not talking about what you and I would consider a closet where clothes are hanging from the top to the bottom. He's just talking about a designated place. You know, that chair in your bedroom could be the closet. That love seat in the living room could be the closet. That drive on the way to work could be the closet. God's just saying, I want to meet with you every day. And then when God says, and shut thy door, in today's vernacular, what he means, shut the cell phones off. Shut the computers off. Shut every other form of communication off. And just you and me spend time with one another. He desires to walk with us. I wonder tonight, what is our desire to walk with him? Look at Isaiah 53 with me. Look at Isaiah 53 with me. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one in his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And now, because of the finished work on the cross of Calvary and redemption through Christ, that fellowship has been restored with sinful man and an almighty God. Aren't you thankful tonight, child of God? You and I don't have to go and confess our sins to another sinner just like we are. But thank God there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And my friend, God was pleased with the payment that was made so we can be reconciled back to God, and we were created to have fellowship with our God in heaven every single day. I cannot say that I'm at this level. I sure would like to be one day, but how convicting of a statement it is. One preacher said, I'm so pleased with Christ that my only desire is Christ be pleased with me. And the truth of the matter is, we spend our entire lives trying to please everybody else, but there's times where we won't even give a second thought to pleasing the great God of heaven. Turn our Bibles tonight to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Not only is God's purpose fulfilled, His place is found, His pleasing is favored. Look at Matthew 28, verse number 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Can I say, when we walk with God, number four, God's plan becomes our fervency. God's plan becomes our fervency. We see here in Matthew 28 that the disciples had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years now. And the Lord is ascending to heaven, and He gives them their great commission until He returns to get us one day. And Jesus gives them His plan, and that plan is to get the gospel message out and win folks to Christ and then baptize them and disciple them. We see that after walking with the Lord, He goes to heaven, and the disciples' fervency was to fulfill God's plan. They began to turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ because they walked with the Lord, and the more they walked with the Lord, the more they wanted to tell everybody else about the Lord that they walked with. Me and my wife, we don't travel nearly as much as we did in the first 11 years that we were married. But can I say, even though she doesn't travel with me every week now, there's not one church service. You would say yesterday, a Sunday school, and Sunday morning, and last night, I mentioned my wife. I'll mention her again right now, and I'll say something about her tomorrow. You understand? She doesn't travel with me nearly as much anymore, but I can't help mentioning her name and talking about her. Why? Because I spend time with her. I love her. I communicate with her. I listen to her. And child of God, can I say tonight, when you and I find out what it is to dedicate ourselves to read that book and to have a sincere prayer life and walk with God and fulfill His purpose for our life, we can't help but tell others about the one that we fell in love with in this book. When the Lord was calling out His disciples, He said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And the only way those disciples could follow Jesus is they had to walk with Jesus. And the more they walked with the Lord, the more they told others about Him. And child of God, our witness for God will always be a reflection of our walk with God. God's purpose is fulfilled. God's place is found. God's pleasing is favored. And lastly, I finish. Turn your Bibles to John chapter number 4 tonight. John chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, "How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto Him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing water, springing up into everlasting life." Can I say lastly tonight, maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice, either here or watching by way of live stream. You say, "Brother Dallas, I sure would like to have that fellowship with the Father that you're talking about." But maybe there's somebody here tonight that you can't have the fellowship because, first of all, you don't have a relationship. Well, I've got good news for you, my friend. friend. If you'll hunger and thirst after God's righteousness instead of our own works and our own deeds. Lastly, thank God, God's pardon is found. Amen. God's pardon is found. One thing I know about every person here and anyone that's watching my live stream is every single person, before they meet the Lord Jesus Christ, they have an empty void inside of them. I don't know what you try to fill your empty void with, but I know what I try to fill my empty void with. And my friend, you just become like the prodigal son if you try to fill it with anything but Jesus. That prodigal son, the Bible says that he would have eaten of the husk that the swine did eat. That word husk means empty. And he would have fed on those husks, but he would have just remained empty. And can I say this world will just leave you empty trying to fill that empty void. But thank God for that living water that I tasted over 20 years ago. And thank God I've never thirsted ever again for anything of this world, my friend. That water will fill us, amen. And child of God, can I ask you, when's the last time you hungered and thirst after righteousness? When's the last time we've hungered and thirst to spend time with the one that saved us from the devil's hell? Can I ask you tonight? Maybe someone here, maybe somebody watching my live stream. Do you know this Jesus I'm talking about? I'm not talking about in your mind, but have you ever trusted him in your heart? If not, I'm glad God's pardon is found. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that not only did you save us, but Lord, you didn't save us and just check out on us and let us make it our best way until we get to heaven. But Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've given us a roadmap through this journey called life, called the Word of God. And I'm also thankful, dear God, that you've made a way for us to be able to spend time with you in a prayer closet and access the throne of grace. And dear God, I come to you tonight, including myself and everybody on the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, that we already have it in our hearts and in our minds, that place where we will meet with our Creator in the morning. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, bless the rest of the service. Bless my good friend, Brother Davis, as he come and open up the Word of God and preaches to us here in just a little bit. And we'll thank you for everything. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Amen. Let's take our hymnals once again. Brother Steve's going to come, and let's take our hymnals and stand and stretch our legs a little bit.